How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Great.
Thank you.
Yeah. So,
I'll be good. I'll go back. I'll be good. I'm good.
Good.
Great out there.
But I look at it.
Oh.
No.
Good evening, everyone. It's now 6 p.m. This is Monday, July 17, 2023, and we are the Board of Directors of the Yellow Transportation District. We'll be proceeding with our monthly meeting. Madam Clerk, would you kindly call our names?
City of Woodland?
Present.
City of West Sacramento?
Friendly reminder, see everyone needs your mask.
City of Davis? Willow County?
I'm here.
City of Woodland?
Here.
We do have a quorum. And we are expecting our West Sacramento representative in a few minutes. So with that, we have a special opportunity to see the new buses that we'll be using for our point-to-point service here in Woodland and Winters and Knights Landing. And we're going to have a 10-minute recess, and everyone's welcome to go out and look at it with us, and we'll reconvene at 6:10, okay?
So we got that. Yeah,
everybody has the pleasure and privilege of wearing vests when they go to one of our bus yards.
You look great.
Oh, I am.
You don't have to zip it up. Okay.
No.
Some of us might not be.
This is called Bus and Holly, right? There we go. I can figure it out. There's only about six different ways to put it on. Third time's the charm.
There you go.
Anyone else?
Hello.
Excuse you?
Yes. Yes, they stepped outside to look at the new bus.
Okay. That hurts.
Oh, no.
I messed up.
Get out of the car.
We're taking a 10-minute recess. I think we'll be back in about 2 to 3 minutes.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm totally fine. I just, I literally felt like I cannot walk. Great.
Still have a nice day, Joey.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no.
Like,
it's pretty. I had fun video off, it was weird looking at my stuff.
A little bit, right? This is a pretty sad cover.
Yes, Greg Longfilmhausen is doing today.
Oh, and Calvin is normally on there.
Correct. So we have one member attending online and then Greg involved.
Okay, awesome. Which member is attending online? Okay. And where are they from?
Not sure.
Can you find it so it comes to the
sense?
David, I know a lot of people go to Ashland for their own decisions for stuff.
Ironically, we're not hearing you.
Not You know, a lot of you go to Oregon, Alan Hirsch, I know a lot of you go to Oregon, we've been Shakespeare Festival. My wife and I were out there this weekend, we took a bicycle, we bicycled from Medford, a 15-mile wonderful bike ride, and we took the bus back with the bicycle bus. And the Roll County Transit System has a wonderful system. Behind the driver on the wall, there's a TV, there's a screen that shows the route, it flashes the route, and it flashes, zooms into the route, and tells you your arrival time, tells you the destination, tells you it gives you all this information. I looked at in the back of the bus, and we could read the screen way in the front of the bus. So it could all see exactly where the bus was going, and it was really an amazing system. So I urge you, if you ever go up to Oregon, Ashland, take the bus, even for a short ride, and look at the screen and see the amazing stuff. It makes this stuff short for new riders and you're a tourist, you really don't know what's going on. It's really sure. The other thing I want to mention, I want to express concern that basically that a lot of policy discussions about IAEA has been happening in this ad hoc committee, which we know is the intent to make this a permanent standing committee. An ad hoc committee, they're supposed to be temporary committees. And clearly the intent of this committee is to get permanent committees. So I suggest that the ad hoc committee, you should no longer have closed-door discussions about IAEA policy, any component in closed-door ad hoc sessions. First, it's not an ad hoc, it's really a standing committee for going on here to the Johnson. And second, I think it undermines the legitimacy of the process we're going through. So please consider making that committee a standing committee and having meetings open and noticed and all activities in the public sector. Any information shared is public. Thank you very much for considering that.
Thank you, Mr. Hirsch. All right. Any additional public comment? There being none, we'll move on to consideration of a consent calendar. This is items 3A through 3E. Any item on the consent calendar that any member of the board wishes to use for independent discussion? Being none, is there any member of the public who wishes to comment on any item on the consent calendar? Being none, do I have a motion?
Director Early moves. Director Lauren seconds.
Director Early moves. Director Lauren seconds. Motion to approve the consent calendar. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. This brings us to the regular calendar. We're right back on the time frame. And we begin with administrative reporting. And these are subjects not specific to this limited to clarifying question. So to begin with board member reports, does any board member of this evening have a verbal report on the right side?
Wait.
No? Well, that's fine.
I just want to make a comment that I've heard a lot of feedback about microtransit in winners from different residents and different council members, and the people that are riding are really excited about it, really are happy with the pricing, and also the free transit on the ferry hop day. So thank you. We're doing great, Jim.
Thank you. I have nothing to work on at the moment. All right, then we'll move on to Francis verbal report. Friends. In their achieving research, it says his trans stuff, it doesn't have his name.
Okay, good afternoon. Well, we're looking good still. We are moving right along. We have actually a first team that will be in will training. We have two informate trainees still. They'll be done next week with their classroom and being in going to behind the wheel as well. We're looking right now by the end of the month to have between 4 to 5 at least out to revenue driving. So we're so far ramped up. Looking good.
That's wonderful. And do you expect to have drivers you need for our point to point service?
Right now we're 7 from what our number was.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking at that. We'll have another 5 by the end of the month. And then the record. In the beginning of next month, the other ones are coming out. So, what can you do so far?
That's good to hear. Questions from our listeners from Fenton? I see none, so thank you so much. So, we will now move on to the Executive Director's verbal report.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I will note to the board that there was a pretty lengthy Executive Director's report that went on in your email on Friday. So things I would just add to that, you know, first, number of public comments that's been received over the last month, and that's printed out for you as well within your inbox this afternoon, so I'll just draw your attention to those. Also wanted to note a couple of things. So we are, the Fair the Air heat days that we've had the last 2 days, as well as the heat waves, at the request of the public health officer, we've been offering free rides on heat wave days, and so at their direction. So this weekend they overlapped somewhat. Friday and Saturday were straight air days, and then the heat wave, officially heat wave, was through Sunday, not today. So we provided free rides all 3 days. And we're lucky in that we have funding from what's called the Low Carbon Transit Operations Program, or LCTOP, state funding, that is set aside for providing free rides. It's also what's allowing us, part of the consent calendar, was extending our youth ride free program for 2 years. So those funds allow us to offset the loss of fare revenue when we do the fare to air days, the heat wave, and the youth ride free program. So those funds are not permanent, but we do have a fair amount of them now, and so we're happy to be able to kind of do that. I mean, our intention is to honor spare air days throughout the summer, as well as any other requests from the public health officer, to make sure that people have a safe way to get around when it's too hot to be out walking or biking. We have a finalist for our director of finance position. We had interviews with a couple of finalists last week, and we have our preferred candidate coming in tomorrow. So we're excited for our final interview. So we're hopeful that we will have somebody on board very soon as a permanent replacement for Mr. Levinson, who has done fantastic work for us as our interim CFO. And then lastly, I just want to note where is my other piece of paper? I have it down. For the timeline for the launch of the Beeline service. So our software is going to soft launch the 24th of July. That's next week. That's our goal. So I know Daisy and her team are very focused on getting all that done. We had a training for both fans, Dallas, and the OTB operations team to make sure everybody knew how the software works. And then for an actual rollout, when we're rolling it out publicly for the next running and winter service, we're looking at the week of August 7th to 14th. And then the launch of the Beeline in Woodlands for a mid-September launch, pending the drivers. But as Michael alluded to, we sort of interrogated him last week about the status of the drivers, and we're feeling very hopeful that we'll be able to get there by mid-September. So my final thing I'll note is that we are once again providing a transportation for swim lessons for kids in Knight's Landing in partnership with the Davis Sunrise Rotary and Swim America. So we're about halfway through that program, and it's been another success this summer. I can't remember the exact number of kids that are going through the program this year, but we're really happy to be able to continue that partnership for a second year. And that concludes my report.
Thank you. Do we have any ad hoc committee reports tonight?
There has been no ad hoc committee meeting since the last board meeting.
All right. Then that takes us to the long range calendar.
So no meeting in August. This is our annual break as was built into the calendar. So our next meeting will be in September. We anticipate at that time, hopefully, we will have our YOLO 80 Managed Lanes draft environmental document release. So that was originally scheduled to have a workshop for that this month, but our hope is to do that in September. As well, we've been in discussions about potentially expanding the service area for a night setting microtransit to include the town of YOLO. So pending some of the community engagement that we're currently getting underway in that community, we may have a request for you all to do that. Report on possible action on our salary survey, which is has been getting underway over the last month or so, and then a closed session for my annual performance review. And then in October, we hope to have recommendations for you on our new Woodland location of our new Woodland Transit Center, as well as a scope of work for updating our short-range transit plan. An update on the YOLO Active Transportation Corridors project. I'm very happy to say we finally have gotten through all of the bureaucracy with FHWA, and we got that. We were able to do the notice to proceed just the very last day of June. So that's been a very long process, but we're excited to finally be able to get that project underway. And then a preliminary report on the close of the fiscal year 2022-23.
Thank you, Laura. I'm FHWA, Federal Highway Administration, for anybody who might not know that acronym.
Thank you.
Any questions, board members? All right. Then that will conclude this item 4. And we've now moved to item 5, the YOLO 80 Managed Lane Update. And get out of that.
Good evening, Chair Seller and Board of Directors, Brian Revener, Acting Planning Director for Iowa Transportation District. Before we get started, I just wanted to summarize that the We've been providing monthly updates in the staff reports, or I'm sorry, in the meeting packets over the past several months on the project, but the project kind of finds itself in some unique circumstances right now that warranted a sort of dedicated regular agenda item. So that's why we're doing that tonight. So next slide. I want to give a brief overview just sort of reorient everyone to the project. First things first, and this is a joint project partnership between Caltrans and the Old Transportation District. I also want to acknowledge Greg Long, who's here with us from Caltrans, Deputy Director of District 3, so he can also be here as a resource for us for questions related to.
Thank you for pointing that out. Please forgive me, Mr. Long, for not acknowledging you.
Yeah, right. I got to tour you.
Yeah, so you can you'll be a resource for items that are within sort of or questions that are within Caltrans' responsibilities of the project. But so I thought I'd start with a brief orientation of the scope of the project. So distilled to its most basic essence, the project is really, you know, constructing an additional pole managed line in each direction between Richards Boulevard and the I-80/50 split in West Sacramento. So that's what we had been focusing on of the phase one project. And so that phase one project was estimated at around $207 million plus cost for mitigation. And we have committed funding of about $97 million, 86 of which is in that federal infra grant, which you're aware of. So the reason why I'm focusing on sort of the cost and the funding that we have available to us is because that disconnect is what's sort of putting us in the circumstances that we are today with the project. A note about the infra funding that we do have is that funding has to be obligated by September of next year, and there aren't any exceptions to that. So either our project is delivered with that funding obligated by that date, or the funding will lapse. And right below that, you can see sort of, you know, typical, you know, Caltrans phases, and you can see that we're actually still in the project approval and environmental documentation phase. And the funding that we have is construction funding, so we need to complete PNED right away and design all within a 12-month period, which is an exceptionally compressed timeframe by freeway planning standards. And we're currently, as you're aware, Caltrans is intending to release the draft environmental impact report this summer. Next slide, please. So a few, several developments have occurred over the past month since, maybe since the last board meeting. Good news and bad news. Good news is that in June, we did receive $3 million from the SACOG Transformative Grant Program for non-construction related work for the project. $2 million of that would go to the Yola Transportation District for current advanced planning work that we needed to occur, which we had briefed the board on a month or so back. And then $1 million would go towards Caltrans District 3 for completing the design. Bad news is that $103 million grant application that we had submitted in partnership with, or the Caltrans had submitted in partnership with us, was not recommended for funding. So that is the funding source that we were essentially relying on to close that gap between the $86 million that we had and then the $207 million cost estimate. And also the draft environmental document has been delayed in part because Caltrans and, you know, YOLO-T to a certain extent are trying to navigate new CEQA requirements related to VMT mitigation requirements, and they need a little bit more time than expected, because they had originally intended to release the EIR at the end of June. Next slide, please. So that has an effect on the schedule. So the slide here shows what the schedule kind of would have looked like. It's hard to see. It looks much closer on my monitor and more legible, but I'll explain that briefly. So if we had received that funding, we would have been, you know, proceeding as we had originally planned, with, you know, concept of starting concept of operations, continuing to engage with our regional transportation planning agencies on establishing governance and what a joint powers authority might look like for the region. And then we would have also been launching our phase two outreach. Next slide. But because we didn't receive that funding, it kind of puts a lot of that, raises much more uncertainty where we are now than where we had hoped to be. Next slide. So the effects that I had mentioned earlier, the absence of that funding is really leading us into conclude that with the time that we have left and the funding constraints that we have with the project, that it's not likely that we'll be able to deliver a phase one project that includes tolling. We just don't have the time or the funding to get us from here to there in the time that we have available. And that includes concept of operations, bike, traffic and revenue, getting the design done. There's just too much time to pass. On the funding side of things, we're still working with District 3 on trying to identify funding that could help us essentially close the funding gap for the preferred project that we would like to ultimately deliver, but that a phase one project would proceed most likely without a tolling component, but that the groundwork would be laid for a toll-ready phase two of the project. So that's kind of where we think the project is headed at this point. Next slide. So as we're talking about funding and ways that we can shore up that funding gap, we are looking at potential sources like a federal transportation infrastructure loan program, it's a revolving loan program. It does have requirements for investment grade traffic and revenue studies, and also a revenue source to pay back that loan. Same with the private municipal bond market. So those would not be feasible for us to deliver in a phase one scenario because of the time and the analysis that's required in order for them to be willing to provide us loans. We're also working with state funding programs and contacts to see what opportunities there are to help close some of this funding gap, given that we have this $86 million. It could be at risk because of the short time we have left to obligate it. An important point to mention is that there aren't any other federal funds that we can try to pursue. That was a condition of the INFRA grant funding that we did receive, is that was going to be it. There aren't additional federal funds that we can try to pursue. Next slide. Okay, so the previous slide showed the effects that affect Caltrans District 3 and YOLO together as a project team. And then for Caltrans, they're responsible for design and construction and delivery of the project. So what they're doing at the moment is looking at different sort of scope options for what we might be able to deliver with the existing funding that we have. It could include shorter segments. It could include projects without tolling. In fact, potentially deferring tolling to phase two. So no decisions are made. They're still doing that analysis. We had a meeting this afternoon, kind of discuss where they are. So there's more to come there, but no decisions have been made yet as to how a phase one project would advance with the funding that we have. But if the project scope does change and with a project with the funding that might be available to us, the scope probably would look different than what we've seen in past meetings, and we'll bring that back to you and discuss what that will look like and get your feedback and direction on that. It's also unlikely that because this funding was discretionary funding awarded to the project with a specific scope of work, they're not likely to approve any project to reprogram that fund for a different type of project. So it's either construct the project largely as submitted to them in the grant application, or they wouldn't approve changes to that. So kind of where we think we have talked to SAWA staff about, you know, trying to get approval for a total managed land, and even that scope change request is met up with a lot of scrutiny and the conversations with them. So they consider that a significant change. So any other potential alternative to reprogram the funds for is not likely to be met with open arms by SAWA. And Caltrans, as far as we know, Caltrans is looking to release the draft EIR in August as opposed to the end of June. Next slide. For YOLO-TD, sort of moving forward, we do plan to obligate the $2 million for 20 advanced planning. We did submit the request for authorization last week, so we can continue with some activities that were scoped in that grant award, including you know, things like upgrading traffic and revenue study. We'll continue to engage with our regional partners in establishing the regional tolling authority, but other things might will go on hold. For example, you know, CTC applications, if we would need to achieve tolling authority, that's on hold until we sort of have more clarity on whether tolling will advance in phase one or phase two. So I think that concludes the formal presentation that we have. We know you probably have a lot of questions, so I'm looking forward to having that discussion. Go from there.
Thank you very much. Colleagues, we have questions?
I think I'm here to come first.
Are you?
I personally am here to come first.
Okay. Well, we're still invite public comment. And it's practically very early. And we speak from the public on this item at this time. Come on forward. Can you remind you of your hands?
Alan Hirsch, it's a lot of challenges if I can watch it. Alan Hirsch, Yellow Mobility. Tonight, of course, I'm going to speak about I-80 and an opportunity we have to show some leadership in the region and the community. We are in a world of pain. A world of pain. We have climate change is threatening our future, our children, our grandchildren, our children, and the future of humanity. You see this. We have unprecedented rains, floods. We have wildfires that destroy our community. We have smoke that's closed down our university and closed down our institutions. It's just, we have a crisis here. And blood, fire, smoke, difficult. And it's heat. Heat is dangerous in our life. Especially threatening the poor and less economic advantage of people who harvest their food, who build on indigenous housing, and even those who build on roads and maintain our roads. They are threatened. Those jobs are being threatened by the heat and the science. The science is clear about free white widening. It doesn't work. You got the letter from Professor Susan Hannity, head of the National Center for Sustainable Transportation. She makes it clearly, it will not fix congestion in any sort of time frame, it will not make significant in the end, to reduce demand. We know that we need to have travel choices, and this option does not really give us travel choices. High quality grass stuff, people about this is not going to make really travel choices. No one talked about the rail corridor. You know it will increase greenhouse gases dramatically, for the National Transportation Center, National Sustainable Center model. And it's not even prioritized in the manuals of preparation up through track. Not even a priority fund. Just priority. Who knows the BS and other ones. I know you wrote in May of 2022, challenge Caltrans for more and better alternatives, more environmentally appropriate alternatives in the EIR. And I appreciate that. And you called out all of these factors, including the fact that managed lanes did not reduce the DMT. Would still increase the DMT as much as a regular lane. I'm sad that Caltrans did not flex on this. We have an institution that's built to do one thing, which is widen freeways. And if there's a failure of imagination here, we know the HOV lanes are a failure. You know, of course, but they continue to build it for 20, 30 years, even though it was a failure. It's hard for turning a voucher. We're turning the balance, and we have a climate change. We need to turn the balance. We all know that. So I'm asking for some
and you got the letter from Stephen Wheeler suggesting that now with the CCC failure to fund, we have a hiatus with a chance to reopen the AR, reopen those negotiations, provide more environmental, we studied the alternatives for more environmental sustainability. So I ask you tonight to show the community needs climate leadership. Community needs hope that we can turn this around. We know that so much greenhouse gas comes from driving. We need to turn this around. The city of West Sacramento, the mayor's commission says, we're going to reduce our driving by 40%. City of Davis, city of Lynn, everyone knows we need to reduce our driving because we're doing something in the wrong direction. And Biden's already given up to something that we can't mitigate. We already have a statement of overwhelming consideration. That's what needs to do. We need an alternative. I'm asking tonight for your leadership, some climate leadership. Community needs you. You're elected. Please show those here. Please open up. I know we need to turn about this. That's going to be a conflict of calculus, but this is what the moment requires. Please, please.
Thank you, Mr. Hirsch. It is the most public comment on this issue. All right, we'll bring it back to the board. Anyone wish to comment? Fine. Carter Early?
Yeah, I have a couple questions. the EIR, is that all right? We're supposed to be ready at the end of June, is that right? And we're hoping it's going to be available in August. Did I get that right as well? How the only reason why I don't want to put you on the spot, but I'm about to fair morning. So I'm gonna talk a little bit and talk. And so the only reason why I ask is if we have gotten the dollars, so let's do a what if world. We have gotten the $103 million, I think, was the potential, and the EIR had remained on the pace that it was. What I'm hearing from you is that we wouldn't have been able to do construction regardless, even if we had gotten the money. That's what it actually sounds like to me. So maybe I'm misunderstanding something.
It would have been a tight time frame to try to get all of that work done. But if we had received the funding, then we would have been proceeding along with the assumption that we're trying to deliver toll drainage lane for phase one. The outcome of the EIR process could have affected that, but at this point in time, we wouldn't have known, even if we would have been awarded the funding. Perhaps I would have some
I will say, and we've always known that it was an ambitious timeline to meet all of these deadlines, particularly with the multitude of challenges from being one of the first projects in the region that has to comply with this new DMT mandate and all the uncertainties that that provides, as well as just being the first federal transportation bill in 40 years that provides zero flexibility for extending the timeline without an act of Congress. So those two forces in particular, we've always known there's some amount of stochasticity, if you will, that could jeopardize the project. At this point, you know, we are continuing, you know, nothing has been decided as far as, you know, whether or not tolling will be a part of our phase one project, but looking at the funding that would be needed to achieve that and what additional funding we're likely to get between now and when we need to construct this project, it just seems unlikely. Not impossible, but less likely than it seemed 6 weeks ago.
Okay, and so we have $86 million that we are trying to potentially not lose that we need to spend in 12 months. 12 months from now, 12 months from July 1st?
It needs to be obligated by September of 24th. So we don't need to like spend it and have a project, you know, constructed on the ground. We just need to have the environmental done, we need to have the right of way, we need to have design done. It needs to be bid ready and have that funding obligated by September of next year.
So basically they need to be able to go out for construction for bidders.
And then just last question for me and then I'm done. So we have the state called money that has come to us that sounds like they've authorized us to spend some of those dollars. For whatever reason, if we weren't able to move forward and spend the $86 million, would the plan be to spend all of those state cost grant dollars, or what? How is that going to work?
So, our we have this deadline to spend $86 million. we're trying to figure out a partial project that we can build so we don't lose those dollars. I think the ultimate goal remains to build a toll managed lane. And so the funding that we got from SACOG allows us to lay the groundwork for that. We were going to do it in record time. Now we're going to get to be able to do it on a more realistic time frame in the hope that then additional dollars become available to then complete phase two of the project where the tolling would be implemented.
Great, thank you.
Any questions or comments?
we let Mr. Fong
out. Easy. I got you. He's getting ready. I'll go with mine. It's just a general discussion topic about inclusivity and equity. That was the premise of a toll project, a tolling budget to generate revenues that could help with funding for local transit. So the idea that a project might move forward that does not include tolling would mean that revenue would not be available. Is there still a path, and just a discussion item, for a managed lanes project that maybe the mitigation dollars would provide transit funding? Is that still something that could that be part of phase one that could help us out and help us, even though we wouldn't have a promise or a commitment for phase two, we could still rest on phase one and achieving that equity and inclusion goal?
Well, even a non-toll project still have mitigation that needs to occur. So the difference between that and the toll lane project is that both scenarios have one-time funds that go towards mitigating the project's impacts. The difference is the toll scenario has ongoing revenue that can either expand those mitigation options or they can continue the program that perhaps the one-time funding were planted the seed for.
Mm-hmm. But the question I would have is that mitigation funding would not have to be all spent in 1 year. It could be a mitigation program that would expand into an extensive number of years in order to mitigate the project's significant impact. It would be one and done.
Not entirely clear on the requirements for that. You might know better than I know on this. But my understanding is that the one-time funds would need to be extended and the mitigation's operational by the time the facility is open. And so then the scenario that you're talking about is potentially spreading that out over multiple years rather than trying to spend it all, essentially front-loading the project with mitigation. I don't know the answer to that question.
I would only add that I think this is part of some of the conversation that is happening right now at the statewide level in terms of within Caltrans about, you know, if we build a partial project, how much of that mitigation is for the full project needs to happen and by when, et cetera. And I think there's a lot of unresolved questions about that. I don't know if Greg wants to add. Okay.
So thank you, Greg Wong, Caltrans. You guys are absolutely right. And Brian, thank you for your involvement on the project. It's not just District 3. It's statewide. Caltrans is just getting into this VMP inducing how to mitigate. I don't know the mechanics either about time frame step by step, mitigate all at once over time. It's something that I think we're exploring as a department. August.
Yeah.
That's what we have on the schedule. And again, it's
you're on politician. Yeah.
August. We need to have that conversation, whether even if we had $103 million, frankly, you'd still be in the position.
Yeah.
It's just a new process. Part of the process, and we're embracing it. It's just, you know, we're trying to be experts in something we've never done before. So, right. Congratulations, you're the first region, first project you do it, and well,
thanks. Very good. Okay, thank you for the question again. Thank you. All right,
Director.
Yeah, thanks so much. A couple of quick questions. I mean, I think one just, I assume this to be the case, but with the federal inflexibility around the infra dollars, are there other infra projects in other parts of the country experiencing the same sort of situation?
Yes, my understanding is you're not alone, particularly in the high inflationary environment that we've been in since these projects were awarded. My understanding, I had a conversation with Jason Talichuk, who is SACOG's lobbyist in D.C., and he said that there are a number of other projects that are in the same boat. And it is possible that Congress may, if there's enough of them that come forward, Congress may decide to take some action to restore some flexibility to the Office of the Secretary of Transportation, but that is not happening at the moment.
Thanks, I appreciate that. Just wanted to check in on, never get very siloed and thinking we only want to mess with the situation. So actually on the issue of inflation, I mean, we know how much, sort of the cost of construction has gone up and supply too, I guess, but do we have any anticipated costs? I mean, are the numbers that are continuing to be presented to us sort of a reasonable estimate of the cost for construction for, I think, or do we have a sense of, how much things have gone up? So that's the question. Right. So we are, 86 or 97 million in hand, 103 million was sort of going to get us a long way towards the sort of, next phase. But without that, just curious about the sort of cost inflation and sort of how what we're seeing out there.
Yeah, we're really relying on Caltrans for their understanding of what the construction costs are. It does feel like that what we can afford to build with the money we have in hand seems to get smaller by the day. I think we're not alone, but I have to look to Greg to provide us that kind of understanding of what exactly is happening with inflation on their costs.
So as the presentation, we are discussing options. Inflation is a hard one. Yeah, it's something that we do have to consider in the cost. I don't have a number yet. If I did, I'd get a lot of my projects out of trouble for the CTC when I had to pull my money. But, the challenge is looking ahead for what the construction cost index is, and we got a team of engineers that can go through and do that. But right now, I don't have a good handle on any numbers. We're just trying to look at options right now.
Okay, thank you. Thanks. Appreciate that. With regard to the need to obligate the dollars by September of next year for the federal requirements, what about hypothetical litigation, right, on a draft EIR or on EIR? I mean, is there an ability to, proceed with releasing bids for construction and such if there's pending CEQA litigation?
Yeah, we, Kurt Schultz, who's our special counsel for this project, is not here tonight, but this is something that we did talk to him about, and our understanding is as long as the EIR is certified, even if there is a challenge, that the project can still get funding. Except for in certain circumstances, perhaps if there's an injunction, I believe. Maybe if none of us can really know any about this subject.
Usually a project can proceed as long as the EIR has been certified, absent them as part of the challenge seeking a stay of the project and basically receiving an injunction. Now, we would have to take a closer look at the funding, because some funding sources may have some contingency for litigation, but if Kirk has not seen that, then the typical CEQA rule of the project can proceed as long as the EIR has been certified and the project is approved.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate that. Greg, I have a quick question for you as well, just about the, I think it's been sort of on track and it's moving forward, and it's sort of internal Caltrans project, but it was the I-80 corridor management plan. It's not just a discussion of the roadway, but also of the sort of intercity rail, the sort of variety of transit options that exist along the I-80 corridor. That was something that was a priority of, I think, maybe District 3. I don't know if it was the sort of joining district was working on that at all, but it seems like it's not. I don't know what the status of it is. So I'd love to know where the sort of the I-80 corridor management plan is in the process. I think the reason is because it was really it seemed like it was a very holistic view of everything that was underway in the corridor. So it's like a good view of the transit and, impact, of course, but also vehicle movement as well, too, certainly. But it was definitely something that was being worked heavily on, I think, at least a couple of years ago. And so I'm not really sure what the status of it is.
Get back to you on that. I know that's another division that handles with the NCP.
Okay.
But that's okay. We'll We can see that as well.
Okay. I mean, I think one of the issues in this facility that's been raised is, you know, obviously improved transit. Certainly, you know, there's, you know, a lot of benefits for, you know, high quality regional transit along certainly the freeway, but also, I mean, I think a lot of folks have sort of said that, you know, well, just increasing the number of trains, as an example, you know, on the in Capital Corridor line, you know, that's a great thought, but it's not easily done. Just increasing the number of trains, certainly because Union Pacific owns those lines, and there's the capacity issues and negotiated with Union Pacific. But just curious about the status of the I-80 corridor management plan, because I think that has a lot. It was going to include a lot about sort of all modes. Throughout the entire corridor, not just also this sort of 17-mile segment. So really appreciate a status update at some point around that.
Director Burris, I can check the item on that. That process did conclude, and they do have a final document that was completed in January of 2022. I did look at different scenarios for the entire corridor from, I want to say, the Cortina Bridge up past Sacramento County on 80. And this project was included in that plan, so that's where
it is. So this is my word, it's not yours, but is it just a plan that sort of sits on the shelf? I mean, what happens with that plan that's released? What do they do with it? What's the point of it?
That's a good question. I mean, Caltrans, I can't answer that question.
Okay.
It's a Caltrans.
Yeah.
We need to respond to that.
Okay. Great, thanks. I appreciate that. And then lastly, just as, I mean, Director Early asked this, but, you know, sort of trying to get a little bit more specific, I think, but just as when do we anticipate the draft EIR? I mean, admittedly, there's a lot of work that's being done, certainly, and it's, you know, letting sort of make sure everything is correct before you sort of release the draft, but do we still think that, I mean, is this August being reasonable at this point?
I think by the end of August seems reasonable.
Okay. Thanks very much. I appreciate all those answers.
Thank you. Any more questions for them? I'd like to weigh in. I think the experience is a lot of great questions have been asked, and my concerns have been addressed by some of them. But I also wanted to say something in the interest of public input that we're receiving on this project.
Mm-hmm.
I read the letters that were sent to us this afternoon, and I think there are a lot of thoughtful ideas in there, good ideas. I'd like to see us get those good ideas. But, and I have grandchildren too, so I really care about the future. And I think in our environment these days, you're not paying attention to the basics. But with respect to the issue of Fourth Lane, I look at this in the context of an interstate freeway that basically goes from Mexico to Canada, but starting at the Cartinas Bridge and going to north of Roseville is at least four lanes,
mm-hmm.
and my knowledge everywhere, but between Davis and Sacramento. And so it isn't so much that we're working hard at this to create more vehicle miles traveled. We're trying to eliminate what has become a rather terrible bottleneck and inconveniences thousands of people all the time. I understand some people like the fact that they're inconvenienced because that thought is it will force them to seek other options. But I think the fact that I think of my daughter with two young children, you know, they both have swim team and they work out there at different times, they channel lessons there at different times. All of these things mean transit isn't a viable option in many circumstances for many people. And I know the kind of expectations that get placed on some of us in this world, and we have to be many places, and just it's realistic. That said, I'm a firm believer in the value of transit. You've sat for years on the Capital Corridor, Joint Powers, bus train, and they do a phenomenal job. It's a beautiful way to travel. I wouldn't would you take a car when you can sit in first class comfort on a train and work because your laptop works, whatever. So I just feel like I hope people don't assume that we don't care about the environmental implications. I just think we're the last in line. Solano County has moved forward to make sure their situation is more accommodating to the
context of KZ is it exists over, you know, 70, 80 miles. At least as far as I know, Greg's more expert than I am. So I don't believe, you know, I believe in evolution as opposed to revolution in public policy, and I really believe our citizens, we should have tried to eliminate the bottleneck, and we are trying to make best opportunity we can out of it. I mean, the loss of tolling is horrid in my position, my point of view. It was the key to lots and lots of options, transit options. And if there's a way to get it back, you know, I really want to do that. I mean, you know, you look at the Golden Gate Bridge and the buses that operate because the bridge tolls basically subsidize them, and the ferries that go around is an option. And that's getting people into transit. I love the role of economics in public policy. You can motivate human behavior by economics. So anyway, I want to put those on the record because I don't want anybody thinking that we're just nodding our heads up here. You know, we really agonize about this, and we know the topic has become quite difficult, but I really believe the district is on the right now. Thank you for that. Okay,
Mr. Chair, is there a comment from the public online?
Oh, please let's hear the online public comment.
Hi, my name's Gabriel Ehrlich. Thanks for hearing me. I wanted to follow up on the conversation about the Man's Brain Project. I heard another public commenter, and I heard the conversation among the members of the board. I heard that there's a funding shortfall and that the tolling's on the chopping block. I don't really know a lot about this issue, but it seems to me that it would be better if the extra lanes were on the chopping block. It seems to me like that's probably the most expensive part of the project. I imagine Caltrans might not swing for that, but it seems like something maybe consider if the tolling is essential to the transit part of this. It seems like that should be the higher priority here environmentally. And I'll also say that the reason I'm in favor of transit is that, as far as I understand, freeway widening doesn't work, and the only way to get people from place to place more efficiently without them getting stuck in traffic is to provide more viable alternatives to driving. And so if we're making that extra lane, we're moving nowhere and we're adding more greenhouse gases, and I just don't see why we're doing that. So it seems like from one perspective, the funding shortfall is a risk to our ability to make more transit work in Yolo County, but I wonder if it's also an opportunity to question the priorities here about whether the tolling should be on the top chopping block or the extra lanes that are in 6 of the 7 build options. Thanks, that's all.
Thank you so much for sharing your view. Any additional public comments?
No additional comments.
I have one more quick comment. I mean, I think I appreciate the public comment as well, the additional public comment. I think a couple quick points. For me, I think, you know, I mean, people can agree or disagree on the parts around whether or not, you know, a fourth lane is the right thing to do or not. But I think that, you know, a fourth lane that is HOV only, I think is, you know, destined for failure, personally. I think that, and I appreciate the comments and discussion around, you know, sort of phase 1, phase 2. I mean, I think that the tolling has many benefits. I think if there's going to be an addition of a fourth lane, some type of managed lane, I think the tolling has a lot of benefits. So I think that is really, if we are going to continue to be supportive, sort of robustly supportive as an agency, we should really be pushing for that option, if you know, and particularly in light of, as opposed to just an HOV lane. I think that is, and I understand the sort of issue around funding and lack of funding, but also particularly around the sort of issue of, you know, proposed phasing and such. But I think that just Director Goldfish raised it earlier around issues of equity, at the very beginning around what was told revenue was going to be used for, as an example. We know that it would be used for a variety of purposes. I think that a HOV only option is a real risk, and I think it is ultimately not the thing that we should be doing and supporting as an agency. I think that I understand that the proposal that was submitted for the INCRA grant was specifically around HIV only, and I do know that there is this ability, it seems like there might be an ability to have an adjustment to that, like the federal government is supportive of a managed toll lane, but I think that if we end up just putting in ultimately just an HIV lane, that we are really doing a disservice to the entire sort of thought around this entire project. So, I mean, I also think it's important that, I mean, I think it's something we all know, but I think it's really true. Like, we are at a point right now where, I mean, I know everyone's working diligently on figuring out the funding shortfalls, but at this point, we're in a spot where all of these discussions may be moot. I mean, there currently is not, obviously, the amount of dollars that we need to even construct, some sort of reduced project at this point, let alone the sort of the project that has been envisioned. And then, I think on top of it, and we'll see what happens, but I think, the inflationary sort of period that we've experienced, I think, is we're seeing it across the board, projects all across the state, the cost of funding is extremely high and across many different projects, so not just road trip, no road debt sort of related projects as well. So, I'm hopeful that we can figure out a solution, but I think that we should be absolutely pushing for the tolling project if we're going to be supportive of a project. Otherwise, I think the HRV lane is just not something that we should be supportive of.
Thank you. And Inspector Lauren?
I've been really listening on all of this and reading my information and listening to my peers, and it didn't feel like I needed to say anything tonight because so many great comments have already been made on our peers, but I just want to be very clear that Director Ferrer's position is, I am completely aligned with that position, that we need to make sure that there's a toll lane, however it comes about, that we're committed to the equity portion of that, and not less. But the project has to come forward in the phases that we can afford, that we cannot lose sight of that.
Thank you. Any remaining comments, questions? All right, well, that concludes our discussion of the 80 Managed Lanes project for tonight. There's no action on this, but hopefully with that, we'll take our comments and incorporate them. Clearly, we have a terrible type deadline, as well as a lot of policy questions yet to be resolved.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll just say it's very helpful to hear the board's feedback as we're kind of in the middle of trying to figure out the path forward, and look forward to subsequent conversations.
Thank you. All right, so we're going to move on to item 6, and this is to receive a mid-year progress report on your Wisconsin District annual goals and to provide feedback on new or evolving priorities. Dr. Finstein, this is yours.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. So as you'll recall, back in November last year, this board adopted 11 annual goals for the year. The reason that we did it back in November is because we did it for the first time in my tenure several months after I started. So we've been sort of on this kind of October-November timeframe for this. These 11 goals, along with the accompanying tasks and milestones, are really form the basis for our work plan, both collectively and individually within the agency. We're 8 months in, and we want to check in and see how they're going, how are we doing towards achieving those goals that you identified for us. Next slide. Or that we identified together, I should say. Go ahead and skip to the next slide. So there are 11, and I'll just kind of touch on each of them, and then we'll kind of summarize where we are and where our challenges are going forward. So the first goal was to chart the long-term trajectory of the Yolo County Transportation District. And this is a goal very focused on strategic planning. So as you can see around the room, we have our vision, values, and priority statements that were adopted by the board late last fall in December. And then there was a kind of a second phase of strategic planning that we had talked about doing. We put that on hold based on some of the feedback we received from you in February that there was a lot happening and several new board members that were getting up to speed. So we haven't moved that forward, but it's something I would like to underscore from the board tonight is to think about when do we want to kind of go back into strategic planning. So something we can continue that conversation, but I just wanted to put a flag on that piece for you. My second goal, advancing equitable and sustainable implementation of the ELOE Indiana Springs project. Of course, we've just been talking about that for the last 45 minutes or so. Our third goal, improving our fixed route transit service. Next slide. We have district-wide service planning and policies for microtransit, something we've been talking a lot about over the last few months. Number five, strengthening our transit operations and internal coordination. Goal six, expanding our multimodal planning and programming. This is things like our YAPC, our Active Transportation Corridors project, as well as YOLO commute. Goal seven, improving our customer experience for transit passengers. This is using things like technology, better materials, opportunities to pay, contactless payments, et cetera. Goal number eight, strengthening local partnerships and increasing community engagement. Goal nine, completing capital planning and procurements with improved tools. Next slide. Goal 10, improved grant financial planning and administration. And goal 11, fostering employee engagement and professional growth. Next slide. So how are we doing? So we, of those 11 goals, we had 35 tasks that were associated with them, and then milestones for each in terms of what we wanted to get done in 6 months, which is by May, and then what we wanted to get done by next November. So of those 35 tasks, about a quarter of them are behind schedule. About a third have made satisfactory progress, a third have made significant progress, and a little less than a quarter are complete. Don't, my math is a little round there. But, two-thirds kind of are underway, and then a smaller number behind schedule and complete. And those are, there's a detailed assessment, 15 pages that kind of goes through all those. But I just want to highlight some of the areas where we've made progress and in the areas where we continue to have some challenges. Next slide. So key highlights for this photo actually was taken today. This is the bus you just saw. Our beeline service is set to launch in September, and we've made a lot of progress on our district-wide microtransit policies and fare structure. You all sat through the meetings over the last few months. I think we've made a lot of progress. We've gotten to 30-minute headways on the Route 42, which was a key goal of YOLO Go, and that is now implemented. So once we launch the beeline, make a few other very small changes, we will have fully implemented YOLO Go once that has launched. We secured $2 million in state college funding for tolling advanced planning. We really extended our outreach engagement, particularly around microtransit and some of the changes there in Woodland, as well as around YOLO 80. We grew YOLO Commute membership and program offerings quite substantially this year. We adopted our zero emission fleet plan just in the next time. We're in the two-day resources board. We completed all of the time-sensitive procurements that we had, and this is significant. This is one of the areas that we were actually really far behind in last year's work plan, and we've now gotten them all done ahead of schedule. And I think maybe less important to you, but I think really important to us as a team, we overcame some significant staffing challenges and transitions over the last year, but particularly for our planning and operations team, including an internal restructuring to better make sure that we had the right leadership in place, leadership structure in place for both planning and operations to move that work forward. So I'm really proud of the team and how much they all came together to kind of keep things going even in the midst of all of those transitions and challenges. Next slide. In terms of areas where we haven't made as much progress as we'd hoped, clearly a lot of uncertainty and delay on environmental review and funding for the YOLO Indiana Springs project. Also some pretty major delays in terms of getting approval for the YOLO Active Transportation Corridors or YAPC project, which is also federal grant funded. That's the RAIN grant. As I mentioned in my executive director's report, we did sign a logistic agreement for that a couple weeks ago. We've had our consultants selected and the contract approved for many, many months now, going on close to a year. So we gave them the notice to proceed, and we're going to be kicking off that meeting next week, 2 weeks, something like that. So we're glad that that's finally moving forward. We're behind schedule on our capital improvement plan, our fare structure review, and our short-range transit plan. Again, these are all kind of long-range planning efforts that have been on the work plan for quite some time, but really just hit a back burner due to staffing shortages and turnover. But we're excited we're finally getting some of those underway now. And then lastly, grant tracking and procurement improvements. Our interim CFO, Leo Levinson, he went down to halftime, I want to say, in January. So we kind of put a lot of these longer-term priorities on hold until we were able to bring in a new full-time director of finance, which we're very, very close. I'm hoping to move that forward. So in terms of next steps, our goal is to align our annual work plan with our budget process. That's a big step, right? Have a work plan and then have a budget that matches that up. So we sort of need to do this pivot, right, from having done the work plan in the fall to wanting to then do the work plan in spring. So we're planning to make that pivot this year. So in March 2024, we want to have a board workshop on goals and work plans for the upcoming fiscal year. And then we'll have our annual budget workshop, which we do in April. And then in May and June, bring you first a draft and then a final of both the work plan and the budget, kind of as an integrated packet for the fiscal year 24-25. So that's the plan. That maybe back up in one slide, Heather. That concludes our presentation, and happy to answer any questions and also hear your feedback around particularly the strategic planning question, but anything else that you feel is important to talk about as far as the work plan and priorities.
Thank you. That was a great comprehensive summary. Members of the board?
I think. Yes. This is why I'm here. This is the mid-year reporting, and that's the end of January, or?
So the end of the year would be November, but due to our kind of wanting to shift the timeline, I'm proposing that we kind of extend it a few months and then do that in March.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate the updates, and I think especially as it relates to this slide, I think we're doing the alignment of the goals and work plans, aligning it in sort of in advance of the budget planning process, I think makes a lot of sense. So, I think it's also probably pretty fair to say when you look at some of the areas of progress versus things that have been sort of, maybe not in the back burner, but items that are getting some work. And I think, a lot of that energy is being put into the managed lane project clearly. And so I think, there's only enough hours in the day to sort of work on everything. And so, clearly, that's where a lot of priorities and prioritization of staff time has been. I do think appreciate seeing the sort of items around, the sort of short range transit planning, fair analysis. I mean, I think those items are very important. So glad to hear that staff is also thinking about sort of starting to do some of the work on those as well.
Thank you. Members of the public, comment? Mr. Hirsch.
Thank you very much. This plan is exemplary of the principle we can't help gain transparency and accountability. It's a piece of our basic framework. We're so fortunate to be in this agency. My little thing is about the website and that interaction with the internet manager. So I think it's not quite complete there, but Chris Kwan reached out to me and said, if you have some feedback, give it to me personally, and I'll send him some feedback. It's a work in progress. So just let me say, this is a major report. So we're very fortunate to have this sort of manager to take this agency.
Thanks, sir. Yeah. Any additional comments? All right, so we have reached our adjournment, and please note, we are not meeting in August, as reported earlier. Our next meeting will be on Monday, September 11th at 6 p.m. right here at our offices. With
Chair Sellers, I just wanted to know for anybody.
There will not be following our closed session, so we will not be reading these. No, we definitely report out. Thank you for my meeting. Really, return.
So that closed session will be in a small conference room.
I think we're going to come to the next one.